Great to have you with us here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Larry Mueller here. Today we're talking home improvement with one of our regular guests, John Freiberger. John with Freiberger Construction Consulting, and he's a registered home inspector as well. Lots of experience in restoring old homes. I hope you'll join in our conversation. We're zeroing in a bit on windows to begin here. You may have some window problems or questions. I hope you'll join us. Or other questions as well. Number to call, 1-800-642-1234. Email us at talk@wpr.org or post on the Larry Mueller Show Facebook page. That's the title of our page. And John Freiberger, welcome back. Great to have you with us again.
Wonderful to be here again, Larry.
We've talked about windows in the past, but let's review here. What kinds of problems do you usually see with older windows?
With older windows, draftiness is one of the big problems that we have in houses. And if you can take your sash and sort of rattle it between the two stops, there's an inner stop and there's what's called a parting stop, and then there's an outer stop. And usually, the old windows, Larry, 99% of the time, that upper one is painted into place and is never going to move again until you free it. But the bottom one goes up and down. If that rattles from side to side, it's pretty easy for air to come in through there. The other problem we occasionally see with old windows, a time when they really have to be replaced, is when we really see significant decay. But, Larry, when we see significant wood decay, it's in new windows, not in old windows.
Is that right? And
well,
why is that?
The windows in my house are made out of Wisconsin white pine, I think. They were constructed sometime in the 1850s. And they are, I mean, white pine is what we made schooners out of. You know,
yeah.
Schooners have this tendency to get wet. But they don't rot.
Mm-hmm.
So we had this wonderful old growth wood in Wisconsin, and we supplied the entire Midwest with our northern forests. Modern wood, we've got this fast-growing stuff from the plantations in Georgia. It has open pores, it has a lack of resins, and very often we've had windows that are 10 and 12 years old, and they are simply gone. And Larry, these are windows from good manufacturers, not from, you know, not from Mr. Cheap.
Fly by night.
Right. So wood has really become a problem, and one reason that I really like the restoration of old windows is if you've got a 100-year-old house and you have a 100-year-old window and it isn't decayed, that window maybe has a bunch of problems. But if you take care of that window, you can probably get another 100 years out of it as long as you keep it painted. So you want to see what you can do to upgrade these old windows if they are not completely decayed.
And how do you do that? I mean, what do you look for?
Well, that's a tough question. We were talking a little before we went on the air is that the windows leak between the jambs that go up and down or move in and out,
yeah,
and the sashes. But they can also leak around the window. Many of our old houses, like mine, the windows were pretty much put in. They maybe didn't put anything in between the jamb and the framing of the wall. So, as usual, one of the first things we always do with this program is suggest that people maybe talk to an energy consultant and have an energy analysis done of their house, because if you do a blower door test, you can find out exactly where your windows are leaking. Now, if they're primarily leaking between the sash and the inside of the jamb, well, the addition of weather stripping can do an awful lot. If they're leaking around the outside, we're into a little bit different program, which can include taking the casing off on the exterior of the house and basically carefully foaming and sealing, air sealing them from the exterior. If you do that, you can get the air intrusion rate on an old window down pretty close to the same point as a brand new window.
And we're talking about quite a difference in cost.
A tremendous difference in cost, generally. Now, of course, window costs, there's windows costs and windows costs. I mean, if you want a cheap car, you can probably get a Yugo out there.
Mm-hmm.
And there are some very, very inexpensive vinyl windows out there. Generally, when I do home inspections, I'm surprised at how often I'll go into a house with vinyl windows and there's no indication anywhere who made this window. There's nothing on the hardware. There's nothing on the jams, nothing in the sashes, nothing in the glass. So if you buy that house and that window falls apart, who do you call? Well, you've absolutely no idea. Those windows may actually have been manufactured on site out of a semi. So when you have these inexpensive windows, we see all kinds of failures. We see the jams come apart. We see a lot of leaking. And generally, if you've got a cheap window, The guy who installed it didn't spend a whole lot of time installing it, and you may find that your vinyl window is leaking very, very badly around the exterior. We did a house last year. We Scott Saylor came out from Certified Energy and did the testing on the house. And he found that the house had something like 13 air changes per hour, primarily because it was leaking like mad around the brand new vinyl windows that had been misinstalled.
Oh, boy. And the glass itself isn't, I mean, an old glass versus a new glass, the energy loss through the glass probably doesn't, or does it make a big difference?
Well, that's really a matter of interpretation, and this is the problem with windows, is everybody's got an opinion, and I'm going to give you mine, but some may disagree. We know that just a plain old piece of glass, like in my house, has got basically a thermal resistance of 0.93.
Okay.
Now, if you've got a half-inch airspace, double-pane window, let's say you've got pretty much a new vinyl window, you're at about 2.08.
Well, not a lot of difference.
Well, it's double, right?
Yeah.
But now let's put a storm window on the house, because I don't see in Wisconsin, most of us are smart enough to put storm windows on if we have these old single-pane glasses. So now what we've done is we've added a second pane of glass, plus we've added an airspace, and that airspace is anywhere from 1 inch to 4 inches. Now, there's disagreements as to what that means, but taking a look at the literature, I found one analyst who believes that you've got an R2.9. Frankly, I don't believe that. Mm-hmm. And I think you can count, however, on an R2 for the assembly that includes a decent-fitting storm window, and that does not mean a storm window, Larry, that is caulked into place, because that causes condensation and sill rot, and your old window. So if we've got an R2 between an old window on your house and the storm, and that we're going to replace all the windows in your house, and what we're going to end up with is an R2.08, probably got 1,000 years to get a payback on the energy you're saving. So we really need to analyze it. And the very, very best windows we're seeing out there typically are in the R4 range.
Okay.
Now, we know that 15 to 22% of our heat is lost through our windows. So does it make sense to change the windows? Well, it may, unless we've already insulated the attic, unless we've already weather-stripped the doors. By the time we do those things, sometimes we just do not have the payback to replace these windows, unless, of course, they're just plain rotted.
I know someone who's got storms and would like to get rid of them because they're painted in or whatever, can't get them off. They may do a good job, but while cleaning them or getting them off and getting them on again is a pain. Let's call it a pain.
Oh, it is.
P-A-I-N.
It can be dangerous too if you're up on the ladder there on the third floor trying to change an attic window. But we have metal combination windows. Yeah, they're pretty ugly, and of course, metal transmits a lot of heat. But many companies, including, I think Marvin maybe makes the best one that I've seen so far, make wooden combination windows. So if you've got a 3 or 4 color pattern, palette on the exterior of your old Victorian house, you can actually put on a wooden storm window. Basically, once it's on, it's on. And from the interior, you can remove the storms and the screens and do all of your painting. So, yeah, those old, huge, heavy storms and screens that you had to put on and off really should become a thing of the past. But the wooden combination windows, I think, really do a nice job. They're more efficient than the metal ones, and certainly they look better.
Dan in Waukesha has a window question. Let's go there. Hi, Dan. Thank you for calling.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure thing.
My house was built in 1998, and I have double-hung windows throughout the house, probably 10 of them. The problem I'm having is the lower window, the double-pane vinyl windows, but the lower window, the steel in between must have broken or something, and it's all dirty, and it almost matches the imprint of the screen from the outside. There's no moisture. It just seems to be dirty, and nothing I can clean it with. Is this something the manufacturer would be able to help me with, you think? Or do I just have to replace them and get new windows?
Well, that's a good question. Do you know who the manufacturer is, Dan?
Yeah, like you said before, there's really not a lot of identification on them. Mm-hmm. The only thing is where it locks in, it says carefree.
Carefree, okay. Well, so I guess you need to Google carefree and see if they still exist. What's okay. interesting is this sort of a uniform discoloration?
It's a uniform. It almost matches the imprint of the screening that's on there.
Uh-huh.
There's no, like I said, there's no moisture.
Right.
I don't know if it's from the heat during the summer that somehow that gets imprinted in there or what. But the windows seem fine. They're just dirty.
Yeah.
I think that what you may have is a low E coating failure. Low E coatings are coating put in many windows, and what they do is basically a metal oxide of some sort. And what it will do is it'll let the shortwave radiation come in, like the sunlight, but it has a tendency to block the long-wave radiation, you know, the infrared.
Yeah.
So the idea is that your windows are not going to radiate as much. Now, it's possible that there was some sort of flaw with the application of this low-E coating, and that this metal oxide has turned gray on you. Now,
that's what it's
uniform,
yeah,
that is the only thing that explains it. If the seals had failed, these windows always suck in moisture. So that may be the case.
Yeah. So the thing to do is then try and find out if Safeway, is it Safeway?
Carefree.
Carefree, sorry.
Let's see if Carefree still exists. You know, it's funny because every now and then you Google something and you find the Carefree Consumer Settlement Trust. And you find that you're entitled to brand new windows or something. But always give a manufacturer an opportunity to help you or correct any errors. And if it happened on your windows, it happened for tens of thousands of people. And
that may have put
Carefree out of business, or it may have educated them very well how to help out a consumer like you who's got a problem.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. Good luck.
And I'm not reaching too far, seeing it was installed in 1998.
Well, you don't have a warranty, but
right.
What is interesting is when we get failures. Take Zolite insulation from the Grace Company put into your house in 1956. Well, there's a settlement trust. So if you need to remove it from your house, the Zolite Trust will pay 55% of that. So it's funny, when you go back, you'll find there's been a lawsuit. There's tons and tons of shingle lawsuits and class actions. LP SmartSide, $846 million trust fund. There's a tremendous number of trust funds out there. So any listener who's got a problem with something, Larry, the first thing is try to identify the manufacturer and then Google it and look for the settlement trust, because very frequently, if we've got a major national problem, we've got a major national settlement.
There we go. Good luck. Thanks so much for calling, Dan. Appreciate your call. John Freiberger of Freiberger Construction Consulting of Fitchburg, our guest today. I'm Larry Mueller. Jill Nador, on-air producer here on the Ideas Network. Taking a look at home improvement issues, especially windows, today with our guest, John Freiberger of Freiberger Construction. I'm Larry Mueller. Thanks so much for joining us. Just to mention, at 2 o'clock, there's a recent survey asking Americans about the most significant historic events in their lifetime, and Kathleen Dunn will be talking about that. Right now, though, we're taking a look at your house, and in particular a bit, your windows. Jean in Lac des Flambeaux has a question. Let's go there. Hi, Jean.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
We've had a problem since the house was built in 1988. The windows have always sweat terribly in the winter. We used to put a little personal fan at each window to keep them dry.
Mm-hmm.
And in later years, we switched over and put plastic over them. But is there something wrong with them?
Are there? So these are crank-out windows?
Crank-out, yes.
Right. So these are casements. 1988, it's probably... probably an R2 window. And if we take a look at where condensation happens in our houses, basically, if we've got about 40% interior humidity, which is a nice, safe, low humidity in Wisconsin in the winter, when that window temperature gets to about 32 to 34 degrees, it's going to start condensing out. So in other words, our 40% relative humidity, the surface humidity at that point is going to hit 100% because that air has been cooled. You can't lower your humidity down to zero in your house. You couldn't possibly live in it. What you're doing with the plastic is basically you are turning your window system into like a triple glaze system. You've probably got a thermal pane on there now, and you're adding another system. You're adding an airspace. You're maybe taking your R2 window and making it into an R3.5. At that point, that air probably has to get a whole lot colder before you get condensation. And that's why your fan is working. Your fan is moving warmer air over to the window. Now, what you may want to do, Gene, is research interior storm windows, because many companies make interior storm windows that you can put on, obviously, on the interior of your windows during the winter and take off. And basically, you're up in northern Wisconsin where, you know, it's cold up there. It was cold last night. Interior storms may be a good solution. That is certainly going to be a lot less expensive than replacing the windows in your house. So I would take a look at that first.
We tried one just to see how it would work.
Yes.
And you couldn't just pop it in the way the manufacturer said. We had to put a lot of weather stripping around it, and then it still, you couldn't get a real tight seal.
You couldn't. Okay, and the tight seal is really essential, because if you don't have the tight seal, well, I'm afraid this is simply a fact of life in Wisconsin, is if we have a livable humidity in our house when the windows get really cold, we are going to get some condensation. So perhaps the plastic is going to be your best solution until such time as you can replace the windows with very, very efficient windows.
Okay. Are double hungs better than the crankouts?
It depends upon the manufacturer. What you can do is, if you look at the various manufacturers, you can look at the air intrusion rates. Now, so you've got two things that are going on through your window. One is the R factor. It's a thermal resistance. Also, the inverse of that would be the U factor, would be the transference. So you want to look at that, and you really want to have a window that is better than 3. The second thing is the air leakage, and that is going to depend upon how the windows are weather stripped and how they are installed, so you don't get leaks between the window and the rough framing of the house. Now, the manufacturers are going to be able to tell you what the air intrusion is between the sash and the jamb, but your installer is the one who is responsible for making sure that these fit and we don't have air coming in around the exteriors of them. So you need to research the product, but then you need to make sure that product is installed correctly so there are no air leaks at all between the window, exterior of the jamb, and the wall.
And what do you typically look for when you go to hire somebody to do this?
You look for somebody who's been in business for a while, and then you protect yourself. So let's say we'll just pull a name out of a pretty decent window, which is a Pella.
Okay.
So let's say Jen is going to put new Pella casements in the house, or new Marvins, or new whatever. She should be able to go to their website and download the installation instructions. The second check, and Larry, the producers put this up on your website already, is we can go to the Energy Environmental Building Association, and we can take a look at the Water Management Guide. And what's great about the Water Management Guide, written by my buddy Joe Stilbrick, is it has a couple hundred pages of how to install any kind of window. Even if you've got a house with the old-fashioned tar paper on the exterior, it gives you general directions. I think it costs like $8 or something like that. So we have put that up online, so that's a resource people can go to. Great little book. And whenever you download something, or if you buy this book, you never buy one copy of a book. You always buy two, one for you and one to hand to Mr. Smith, the window installer, so he knows that you've got a copy. And then watch the work as it's done. The other thing that you can do is you can ask for a warranty and just say, these are not going to leak, right? And you can test that by having an energy consultant come in and do a blower door test in your house. See what the air changes are. If they are leaking around the window, and weather like today when it's cold, we can take our thermal imaging cameras and we can see the heat leaving the house, or we can depressurize the house to 50 pascals and we can find the air leaks. So we can put science into play
here.
Yep, on behalf of the consumer, so the consumer gets what they pay for.
There you go.
Great.
Things to think about, Gene. Thank you so much for calling. Appreciate your call. We have Joe in Oshkosh with a question for you. John, let's go there. Hi, Joe.
Hi. My question is about sill and brick molding and wooden storm window rot at the base. The house was built in 1982. And to make it look like an authentic Cape Cod, their combination wooden Marvin windows, double hung, so the storms are wooden frame with the combination storms on them. And every year, just about, I have to replace at least a couple of them, usually on the north and the west facing sides. Because of the rot around either the base of the either on the storm window and or the sill, thank goodness for Bondo and the and the brick molding. And you know, I've done you know, I don't paint them in. I'm careful about you know, putting them in and removing them when I need to do any kind of work, and I keep the gutters clean above the ones that are underneath gutters. So I don't know what else to do. I was wondering maybe if you had some suggestions on preventing this rot.
Well, the problem, as we talked earlier about the modern windows are modern wood, and the modern wood is pretty soft. The problem where the rot usually begins with the wooden storm windows, even from a good manufacturer like Marvin, is where the mortise and tenons come together at the corner, and there's end grain exposed. And if you look at your windows, the sides of the windows, which are called the stiles, and the parts that go horizontal out of the rails, is the stiles are going to have wood grain resting on the sill, open grain. Well, you've painted it, but still, if we get any damage to that paint, those windows can suck up moisture just as it did when it was a tree. One possibility, if you are replacing some of those Marvin storms, is when you get the new ones, actually put a wood hardener grain filler, basically just brush it on before you prime, and don't rely upon anyone's factory primer. Reprime it yourself with a good quality, primer, Sherman's, Williams, Pratt & Lambert, one of the good quality universal oil primers. Seal everything up. The only way to keep modern windows from decaying is to keep the water away from the wood, and that is going to be our paint, and often paint alone. Three coats of paint will seal something 96% if it's a good quality oil-based paint. But 96% may not be enough over 20 years. So the use of a grain filler or wood hardener, Minwax and many other companies make it. You can work with that if you're repairing your wooden sills. You're probably already using grain hardener because you wouldn't want to be putting your epoxy repair in until you repair the grain around the area where the rot occurred.
Mm-hmm.
So it is possible to keep them going. The brick mold, I simply do not use white wood brick mold. I have companies make up dense inland red cedar, or if it works with your house, companies like AZEK make a PVC brick mold. It looks just like wood, except it's PVC, the same thing that your sewer pipes are made out of. It is never, ever going to rot. So take a look. If you replace something that with it, something that is long-lived, if it is natural wood and it's modern wood, seal the heck out of it.
Okay. Do they make storm windows ever out of treated wood?
The problem with treated wood is it moves all over the place. Is we have to pressure inject it to actually make it into treated wood, and then as it dries, it moves because we've put in all this moisture, and you'd find that they simply wouldn't work. Could probably have somebody make dense inland red cedar windows for you, or maybe somebody already does.
Mm-hmm.
But if you really do a fabulous job of sealing these storm windows, the other trick that I sometimes use is another thing you can do with your pennies besides put them in the penny jar. I put a copper penny, two copper pennies underneath each of my storm windows. It gives a little bit of air movement, but not so much it really ruins the thermal efficiency, but it gives this little bit of gap where I get some drying.
Yeah.
Oh.
Okay,
yeah.
Thank you.
So that's your 2 cents worth.
That's
John Freiberger, I guess Larry Mueller here. Let's go to Christina in Glenwood. Hi, Christina.
Hi there, Larry. Boy, boy, are you funny. I have got Anderson windows and a 4,000-square-foot home, wall window sides on the east and south side, upper lower level. The windows are 5 feet high by 3 feet wide in three sections, so that'd be like 5 by 9. I think you'd call them casement because they have a crank. They actually crank out. And it seems like more often than not, I have an oval ring in the center of the windows, especially during the winter. Mm-hmm. Is that anything to be concerned about?
Now, is this an oval ring of steam or vapor or whatever on the inside of the glass or between the panes of the glass?
It seems like it's between the two panes of glass.
Okay, that makes it a little bit more difficult.
Yeah.
Well, generally what happens when we measure windows, and the R factor on windows, what you have to do if you want to know what the R factor is on a window, you've got to go to the National Fenestration Rating Council. And what they do is they take the entire window, they take the thermal panes, they take the jambs, they take the stiles and rails of the sashes, they average it all together, and they give you an overall R rating. Now,
okay. If
we study thermal panes, we find that the R rating is different on different parts of the thermal pane. Usually it's lowest in the middle. So in other words, the middle of your 3x5 window, you know, if you draw a line up and down, that middle of that is going to be the coolest part of that window. Now,
okay. If
we've got anything that can condense out between those panes of glass or inside your house, it is probably going to condense out in that oval because that is the coolest part of the window in the winter. Now, I don't know exactly what's condensing out between those panes. If it's on all of them, it could be actually some sort of an argon or krypton or one of the...
Yeah.
Or some other residual moisture. I'm not sure what it is. If it were on the inside of your house, I'd say, yes, that's moisture, and I expect that. And as the temperature goes up, that'll stop.
So if it were inside, that would be because of the humidity in your home, and then you'd want to reduce that?
Well, but you don't want to reduce it any lower than 35%. You get down to 25%, you'll end up with nosebleeds and uncomfortable. I mean, the problem in Wisconsin, as we said before, is that if 35 to 40% is our recommended interior humidity, when that glass gets down to 32 to 34 degrees, we are going to get some condensation inside our windows.
Okay, so if it is, in fact, going back to the argon, because I don't recall really feeling it, you know, or seeing it drip, for example, which would indicate in my mind that it's that the humidity is elevated. Is there anything I need to do? Any reason to be concerned? Just ignore it.
One never ignores anything because Anderson's a very good company and they have a good tech support. So you take as close a picture as you can. You email them. You send them a picture and say, "This is what I have. Please help me." And you're going to find with all of the better manufacturers, the Marvins, the Pellas, the Andersons, that they are going to respond to you. There's only 7 major window manufacturers left in the U.S. for wood windows. Mm-hmm. And the reason that those 7 exist and the rest don't is customer service.
Okay. Yeah.
So don't ignore it, Christina. Talk to them. And if you find out something real interesting, let us know.
Call back.
I sure will. You bet I will.
thanks, Chris.
Thanks so much for help.
Yeah, thanks a lot for calling. Appreciate your call. And she knows the manufacturer, so got a
The
good
start. Manufacturers always have their names on their glass, and you can find out online who they are and how to reach their tech people.
Bob in Brookfield, hello.
Yes, hello. I hope my question will be pretty easy to answer. I replaced my windows about 12 years ago, and along with that, I had 2 patio doors. And I recently replaced the 3rd patio door on the lower level and find that that one glides so easily. And my upper patio doors are a little bit getting harder to open. And I'm just wondering what your suggestion is to keep that clean and maybe treat the bottom of the patio door to make it slide a little bit more like it was new.
Okay.
Well, there's one thing I want you to look at first, and that is I'm glad your downstairs one is sliding, because that means that the header, the structure above the door, is good. Occasionally we find houses where the headers above the doors aren't too good, and the doors have actually been deflected in. So you can take a long level, or even a 3-foot, you know, those old wooden 3-foot rulers, if you have it around, stick it up there and make sure that the top of that door is still nice and straight.
Okay.
If it's not nice and straight, then you're probably going to have to consult with a carpenter. In other words, if the middle of that door is being pushed down, so it's putting pressure on the doors below, your doors are supposed to be mobile, not structural. And if those headers get bad, your doors could become structural. Otherwise, take a look. Go to your local hardware store and talk to them. There are silicon spray glides. There is a whole bunch of different non-toxic, non-oily glides that are made for windows and doors. And they're going to tell you to clean it up, get rid of any corrosion that you might see, maybe by using some steel wool. Give it a shot with some sort of glide inducer, and that should take care of your problems.
There we
okay.
go.
Okay, that sounds great. Thank you so much.
Yeah, thanks, Bob. Appreciate the call. Vicki in Berlin, your turn now. Hi, Vicki.
Hello. My question is, I have double-hung thermal-paned windows. They're about 22 years old in my house, and they work great. But I have two of them. I have the outside storm and then the inside screen and then the inside window, double hung.
Yep.
I have two windows that have condensation, not on the inside window, but on the outside part, on the upper part. And I'm not sure if I need to caulk on the outside upper part of the window, if there's something interior wrong with the interior of the window. Or I guess where to start.
So the moisture is on the outside, or is it in between?
It is in between, not on the inside window. I have the inside window and then the screen and then the outside window. It's on the outside interior of it.
Okay.
Okay, so it's between the panes of glass that constitute your thermal pane. Is that right, Vicki?
It's not actually in the thermal pane. It's actually on the inside. I mean, if I take out my inside window, I can reach in and wipe it off.
Okay, so it's actually out on the inside of your storm window.
Yeah.
Okay, that's a pretty simple one. It sounds like we've got some condensation that is getting past the weather stripping on your double hung windows, and that is coming out as warm air, so it's going to rise, and then it is going to condense against that cold outside glass, because that's the first condensing surface.
Right.
So you want to check your latches. Now, are these vinyl windows?
They do have a vinyl coating on them, but they are a wood window.
They are a wood window with, like, a vinyl cladding.
Yes.
Okay, good.
And I know the interior latch, I have replaced several of the locks, and they're always locked tight.
Right. That's really one of the keys. Now, some windows have vinyl weather stripping, and usually it's white. And that weather stripping decays with age, especially on the south side of the house or the west side where it gets the most sunlight. And occasionally it just gets brittle and doesn't work anymore. So press on that weather stripping if it is vinyl and see if it's good. If it isn't good anymore, you can usually get replacement vinyl weather stripping, because it's just friction fit into a little routed groove.
I know some of it is getting brittle on a few of my windows.
Okay, that's our issue. And do you know the brand of your windows?
Geldwin.
Okay, and they are still in business?
Yes.
So again, we're going to go online. We're going to find their tech support people, and we're going to send a picture of the window, picture of the weather stripping, and they're going to say, how can I acquire some new weather stripping? You're going to find that between fingernails and a little pliers, you should be able to pull that weather stripping out, but of course you're going to ask their tech guy, who's a lot smarter than I am, about it before you try it. And it sounds like it's maybe time for you to re-weather strip your windows, because you are getting warm inside air going outside and condensing.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now, would that weather stripping go, I guess I'm trying to picture it in my mind if I remember it, all the way around, or just the bottom weather stripping?
Generally, if one's bad, it's all bad. So
okay.
There's usually weather stripping on the bottom side of the movable sash, and there's usually weather stripping inside the channels. But every window is different. If you take a picture of that window,
okay,
you know it's 22 years old. My guess is there's about a 99% chance that the tech person there is going to be able to help you out.
Okay, so they would give me the right procedure, caulking to use to adhere it.
Generally, there's no caulk involved. It's just friction
okay.
fit. You pull the old
okay.
one out, you stick the other one in. It's got a little V thing on it, and it just it's basically friction fit into a little channel. Now, yours
okay.
could be different. I'm telling you what the typical one is. I'm not seeing a picture of your window.
Right.
But you're going to find it fairly time-consuming, but simple to do.
Okay, great.
All right, thanks, Vicki. Appreciate the call. And Ron in La Crosse up next. Ron, hello.
Yeah, I've refinished some old basement windows, you know, from a house that's built in 1951. I can tell you they must have used hardwood on the casings and sashes because they've never rotted. I had to strip some old aluminum paint my father put on years before and then down to the bare wood and then stained and polyurethane or varnished them. But I've noticed a couple questions. First question, the window casing on the south window, the basement window, it wears out. You know, the varnish or stain doesn't last as long as paint. And I'm just wondering if you could tell me what type of a product would last longer on a south-facing window. The other thing, what would you recommend for weather stripping? Because I had such trial and error trying to get the right thickness weather stripping so I could close the sashes, the storm and inner sashes,
mm-hmm.
after I replaced the old strip flashing that came with the windows when they made them.
And so, was it a metal strip flashing that came with the windows?
Yes.
And it was probably an aluminum at that period.
Yeah, I suppose. Anyway, they didn't worry about the cost of heating, so it was sort of a token thing.
Right. Yeah, and the weather stripping is trial and error. I like the sprung brass weather stripping, and there's a couple types. There's a V type, and there's also just a plain spring type, which is actually flat. And again, I would check at your hardware store, take a look at a couple things, maybe a little trial and error. If you are actually having to replace the casing, again, we talked earlier about sealing the end grain because that casing, especially the casing going up and down, the bottom of that casing, if any of those wood pores are open, they're going to suck up moisture. So again, use a wood hardener or a grain filler. Get at your local hardware store, Winmac.
Now, you were saying something about brass weather stripping. I've never heard of that. I was using open-celled foam.
Oh, yeah. No, most hardware stores still have old-fashioned brass weather stripping. The flat stuff actually comes in a little roll. You unroll it, you cut off the length you need with the tin snips, and it's got little tiny nails.
Okay.
And those are a pain to put in. You need a little tack hammer and a little needle nose pliers to hold them. But if you've got a lack of clearance, that flat stuff, which actually springs back at you, can work pretty well.
Okay.
But stop at your local, your local hardware store and see what they have. They're most likely going to have something like that in stock. At least the ones here in Madison certainly do.
Mm-hmm. Okay, yeah, because there was a lot of trial and error with that open cell foam and closed cell foam. It was a headache trying to get things right.
The problem with it, it seems to have a fairly short life. I know some of the vinyl weather stripping has what they call a lifetime guarantee, but somebody must have a really short lifespan.
I'll say one thing. I think these old windows, hardwood windows in the basement, well, I think they look a lot better than a lot of the stuff they have years later.
Well, you're so fortunate that you've got a house from the 50s where you still have old growth and you've got good quality. You probably have good quality wood throughout your house.
Yeah. Lucky you, Ron.
Yeah.
All right. Thanks a lot for calling. John Freiberger of Freiberger Construction Consulting of Fitchburg, our guest today. I'm Larry Mueller here on the Ideas Network. Talking home improvement and zeroing in a bit on repairing your windows today with John Freiberger of Freiberger Construction Consulting of Fitchburg. I'm Larry Mueller. Thanks so much for joining us today on the Ideas Network. We have John's posted quite a few things up on our website to help you with your windows, and he's talked about one already, and we'll get into some more as we move along. Todd emailed to say that the Colby and Colby high-efficiency windows he put in his house 11 years ago have been great so far. How long should he expect them to last, and what would be the reason to replace them?
The reason to replace them is you didn't maintain them. So what I'd aim at, Todd, is 100 years. The Colby & Colby I consider to be a mid-price window. I usually tell people I think it's some of the best bang for the buck. If you can't afford the Marvins or the Pellas or the Andersons, Colby & Colby makes a good product. I also know that they stand behind their windows because they came out with a three-pane window 25 years ago, and they all failed. And Colby took care of all of the problems with no hesitation whatsoever. The wood in it is modern softwood. Watch your cladding. If it's a clad system, make sure the cladding is tight and water can't get in. Watch for any early signs of rot whenever you paint your windows. You should take a look at that end grain that we keep talking about so that it cannot suck up moisture. But if you inspect those windows annually, Todd, and maintain them, there's no reason why you can't get 100 years out. Now, you won't out of the sealed units. The sealed units will eventually fail. But on a Colby & Colby, unlike most vinyl windows, you can replace the sealed units pretty easily.
Michael emailed to say that the windows in his old house need updating. Can new windows be installed without disturbing his cement single-style siding?
I would expect that probably is the old asbestos hardboard siding from the 1950s, yeah. I would imagine. And I've never seen that run right tight to the windows. Usually there is window casing around the windows. And what I would do, Mike, is I would not only replace the windows, but I'd replace the window casing. Because what you're going to find, if you've got a house that's at least 60 years old, is you're going to find all kinds of air gaps around those existing windows. And you really want to be careful about how you have the new windows installed. Again, we talked about the water management guide, and Larry has that up on his website. Take a look at that. And again, as we said earlier, you can always tell the window person that you are going to do a depressurization test of this house to make sure your new windows don't leak. So put some science behind your checkbook.
Now, there we go. Colleen in Green Bay, thanks for waiting. Hello.
Hi. I have a 127-year-old house, and we have storm windows on all of our windows, and they're from about the same time the house was probably built. They're beautiful, but, you know, the paint's starting to chip, the lead's starting to go, and this spring we're going to go through them all and evaluate what we need to keep and what should go. What are things that, obviously, especially with them being a harder wood, we want to keep them if possible, but at, like, what point should we decide, you know, no, this is a window that needs to go?
Well, when they're unmaintainable or when you simply cannot manage them. What's odd about a lot of old storm windows is a lot of you used to be able to lean out the second floor window, and they had this hook system. You could put them in and then draw them in towards you and lock them. So many times, all of that old hardware is gone. But that old hardware is all still available from Renovation Supply, Blaine's, other companies sell it. So if they're manageable, and what you may find is they're manageable on the first floor and they're not manageable on the second floor. So if they're not manageable, then taking a look at a wooden combination is probably the best idea. If you have a 120-year-old house, one of the questions you need to consider is this on the state registry, and do you have any landmark issues? So if it is on the state register, or if it's eligible for tax credits, if the old storms are bad, you might be able to get tax credits for the replacement of the storms. If that was the case, you might actually be able to have, at least for the first floor, have new old storms made. In other words, they look just like the ones you have, except with the right hardware, and then do combinations on the second floor. So there's a lot of ways of skinning the cat.
Okay. It's not on any registry or landmark.
And the color scheme makes a difference. I mean, especially if your window casing and your storm windows are painted a different color than if you have the wood, you can exactly match that old color. And you can, you know, what some people do is they'll replace all of the south side first, because usually they're worse, and a few years later they'll do the west side, you know, rather than bite out that huge chunk of money that's required. And again, as we've said many times earlier in this program, we want to make sure that when you put those new wooden storm windows up, is that they are very, very well sealed and painted.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks for calling. Harold in Superior. Hi, thanks for calling. What can we do for you?
Well, good morning. I tuned in a little bit late, so I might have missed part of what you had already covered. I'm on the phone here. Yeah, excuse me. And we've got about a 110-year-old house, and I've redone part of the front porch windows. We have a porch that faces south to an open park, so we get all kinds of sunlight in, and I consider passive solar about 20% of our heat. No. Our porch is not insulated. It's all single-pane glass, but it'll get up in the 80s and this time of year when the sun is out, and we open up the door into the living room and gain heat during the day. But I had replaced four windows, that two on each end of the porch. We happen to be at Menards, and lo and behold, looking for windows, and lo and behold, on an end cap was four windows that were within an inch of what I would have custom ordered. And, of course, they were a good price besides. But I thought it'd be about a weekend project to put them in, and I think it took me about, part-time here and there, about 3 weeks or a month. I fooled around with them. It was an awful job because you got the natural the slope that they probably built into the porch when it was intended to be open. And then I come to find out after the front wall, I plumbed everything off the front wall. I thought, you can't do any better than that. There's a house. Well, that was after I was all done. I put a 6-foot level on it, and gee, it's about 3 inches out of plumb. And so, try to put square windows into a trapezoid opening is something else. It was a learning experience. So anyhow, because we have had some serious settling in one corner of the house, what I'm left with is these front single pane. The old leaded glass, I guess it's called leaded, where it kind of settles down and it gives it a little character, the waviness to the windows. But on the outside, they have about 40 layers of paint. The inside's pretty darn good, but the outside, there's so many layers of paint and putty that's cracked out of there, and it's, of course, that old hard, I can't quite remember the name of it, but they made the putty out of something. So I'm wondering if I should try and strip that the outside down and if that would help get the putty out of there. My biggest concern, I think, is not the paint, but the putty and breaking glass. I don't know if I want to do that or try and take them out. I know I'd have to strip some paint off to get the stops on the inside out. And then do I, refinish them, or do they fall apart on me? Or
okay.
All right. Well, I knew you were going to call, Harold. So Larry and I put a couple of things up on the website to help you out. The first one is take a look at the Old House Authority. The Old House Authority, the article that we have up, I believe it's Archives on Windows, is they talk about how to restore your windows and how to deal with that old hard putty through the use of an infrared heater.
Oh.
Now, we got to remember, we got lead paint, Larry, so yeah. We do not want to use these open torches or these high-temperature heat guns or anything that's going to basically volatilize that lead. But we have new infrared heaters that will heat up the paint so we can take it off and heat up that old putty, which often contained lead, as well as take it off. So I would start, Harold, by probably stripping those windows and restoring them, because as you say, they've got that old wavy glass, and that stuff does give your house some character. Another thing that we put up, oddly enough, is from the Scottish, from Historic Scotland.
Oh.
The reason I put it up is it has all kinds of guides in it on how to repair your windows. Plus, towards the end of the one that we put up on the website is your annual inspection checklist for your windows. So, Harold, if you're not really sure what you want to do with these things, It's the visible defects, the hidden defects, the other defects. All of that stuff is in this guide, 4 or 5 pages with a long discussion, plus how to fix. So take a look at those two things that are up on Larry's site, download them, and that should give you some real useful information to help you think about how to do this.
And anybody else, just go to the Larry Mueller Show. That's the title of our Facebook page, and you can get that information right there. And good luck. And I hope that helps, and I hope you get some good result here. I'll appreciate your call very much. Dave in Shell Lake emailed to say the windows in his 2011 home are showing signs of mold due to condensation. The windows are poorly sealed. Windows are not rotting, but he wonders if the mold could be removed and the windows properly sealed.
Yes, and just you can remove the mold basically with a dish soap. If you have wooden windows and it's working into the windows and discoloring them, you may have to do a little bit of light sanding. The quality of paint that you use is going to make a really big difference. You really want a paint that is really quite impervious. Just to pick one of the good names, talk to your local Sherman Williams dealer. Take in a picture of the window and say to him, what should I use on this? Or a local Pratt & Lambert dealer or a local Pittsburgh dealer. You've got people in hardware stores, paint companies in your area that have a lot of information. All you have to do is ask.
John Freiberger, our guest of Freiberger Construction Consulting of Fitchburg. He'll be with us till 12:30. We'll take a quick look at the news, then we'll be back with John. Happy to have you with us here on the Ideas Network. Larry Mueller here with my guest, John Freiberger of Freiberger Construction Consulting. He's a registered home inspector. He has lots of experience in restoring old homes. Talking about window problems primarily today. And I hope you'll join in with your question at 1-800-642-1234. Email us at talk@wpr.org or post on the Larry Mueller Show Facebook page. Mike in Castle Rock up next. Mike, thank you for calling.
Good morning. I've got thermal windows here, and I'd like to know what the leakage I can expect from these windows that are sealed. And the gas, I don't know what it is. It could be, you know, nitrogen, argon. I doubt that it would be krypton, but any thoughts on that?
Well, you're right. It's probably argon. Krypton is usually used. Krypton is much more expensive.
Right.
It's usually used where you have very little space between the panes. For some reason, it works better there. I really don't understand the physics of it. Basically, as long as your seals last, I don't really think you're going to have any molecular or leakage coming out. So I think that if somebody says all windows leak 10% a year, I don't think that – I've never seen anything that substantiated that. I've also never seen anything in the literature, and I've read an awful lot of literature, that talked about the loss of gas as a primary failure mechanism. Generally, what we find the failure mechanism is some sort of deterioration of the seals, often due to the metal spacers moving, the failure of exterior sealant, so water gets under there and erodes the seal. But I've seen nothing in the literature that says that either argon or krypton is going to migrate out through a seal that is still a good seal.
Well, the large windows that I have here have bowed in. If that makes any sense.
Yeah. Glass is actually a fluid, and they will change shape over time. One of the worries I would have if things are bowing in is check the headers to make sure that they're still straight.
Okay.
If we've got any change in headers and we've got pressure on top of that window, we're going to see some failure pretty quickly.
Well, these are Heard windows, and I had them come in a couple of years ago and check them, and there was quite a bit of leakage. The Heard windows that I have here, the company was bought out.
Right.
So they're not, I don't know if they're still in business anymore or not, but anyway, they filled them up with air, and now they're not bowed anymore, but I think there is some sealing problem associated with these windows.
Based upon some litigation I was involved in, I think you're probably right. I think you're going to have to maybe first see if they're still in business, talk to their tech people. How old are these windows?
They're about 20 years old.
20 years old. Okay, so they are fairly old, so you know, we don't have a warranty issue. Well, we don't have access to a warranty issue.
No.
So the problem you're stating is pretty unusual. We did see some failures with the herds on the seals where moisture was getting in, and then the thermopane seals were causing problems. These were usually, you know, to be fair to herd, these are places where it's McMansions in cornfields on the top of hills. Mm-hmm. So tremendous wind loads, rain loads, things that were causing a lot of flexing of the windows. And, of course, that can happen to any manufacturer. If you've got a gigantic window and you're subjecting it to a lot of heat and a lot of sun, you can end up having problems. So as we said earlier, start with herd. See if they're still in business. See if they have tech people. See if they can help you.
Well, Herd doesn't make the windows. They're not in the window business, as far as I know. You know, there's only three or four manufacturers that make glass for windows.
Making the glass.
Right.
Right. But you're never going to locate who's made that glass without going through Herd.
No. There you go.
So you've got to start with Herd to see who the manufacturer of the sealed unit is. And
right.
They are the ones, if there is anything to be done, they are the ones that have the leverage because they're buying tens of thousands of panes a year.
Yeah. Okay. There we go. Good luck, Mike. Thank you. Let's go to another Mike, this one in La Crosse. Hi, Mike.
Hi. I'm calling with another window problem.
Okay.
Let me give you a little background here. About 9 years ago, 8 years ago now, we had a four-season room built on our house, and about 2 years before that, we had a contractor replace our windows, and they're supposed to be triple pane, double argon filled, or in double E glass windows. And so when we had the four season room built 2 years later, we had the same thing, as far as we knew, put in there. But anyway, one of the windows in there, and these are the window I'm talking about is a slider, a triple pane slider. And anyway, also the company that manufactured these, of course, is no longer in business, but you call the number that's there, and it's a window company that answers. But no, we're not the same company. They went out of business several years ago. But funny how that works.
Uh-huh.
But anyway, so I called one of our local glass companies here in La Crosse, and they came out and gave me an estimate on this window that I thought had water damage between the panes. And they came out and looked at it, and they said, no, it's the E-coating that's failed. And he said that's pretty common. And he says as many of these that you've had, surprised that you haven't had others that have failed. And, you know, by the way, they only last maybe 10 or 12 years before you start having pretty much all of them failing, onesies and twosies at a time. And so my first question is that in fact true? Does the E-coating on these windows fail after about 10 years typically?
Typically, no. Generally, E coatings, which, as we said earlier, is it's a microscopic metal oxide spray. Unless something gets in there to chemically affect them, it should be very stable. Now, it could be that we had a glass manufacturer and or a window manufacturer that was not turning out a good product, which might be why they are no longer in business. So it's entirely possible that whoever looked at your windows is quite correct, that your E-coating is failing. But industry-wide, that has not been a problem we've been seeing. Now, we did have our first caller from Waukesha today saying that they saw some gray, and I said, well, that may be the E-coating. So in general, no, but that doesn't mean that in your particular case it isn't indeed the fact. I would take the name of the window manufacturer, check for class action lawsuits. I would also see if the company that purchased the assets and the name maybe also purchased the liability. If these windows, there's Warranties are funny in Wisconsin because we have warranties, and usually it's a year, but we also have this thing called contract law, where sometimes it's 5 and 6 years from the date of the signing of the contract that you still have a way of going back. So I would take a look at this. I would discuss this perhaps with the Department of Consumer Protection, who can give you a little bit of guidance, may look into it for you, and you may find at some point it's even worth discussing with an attorney. But start out doing some research. Because if these are defective, very often we find that there's some sort of recourse.
All right.
Okay. Yeah, right. At this point, I'm looking at having the contractor replace them. He would have to take the frame and put another. He said he would only be able to replace it with a double pane because the triple pane are no longer available. And then when I tuned in, I think I might have heard something to that effect in your conversation.
No, triple panes are still available. I think we had noted that Colby & Colby had a problem with one of their first triple panes and then rectified that, because there are some issues with thermal expansion with triple panes where you can end up with a lot of tension going on in the glass. But no, triple panes are still available, and there are even quad pane glass available.
Wow.
So the triple pane is one of the most efficient windows we can get, especially if we've got argon with a vinyl or a wood frame. You're up at about an R2.9 is sort of the industry average, which is really pretty decent.
Yeah. There we go.
Okay. Cool. Great. Thanks.
Well, yeah. Yeah. Thanks a lot, Mike, for calling. Appreciate your call. Rich in East Troy. We turned.
Hey, how y'all doing?
Great. Appreciate the call. What's on your mind?
I've noticed we're looking to purchase a condominium, and I've been reading about window failures in these condominiums where they're leaking on the flashing. Apparently, hasn't been put in right. And I'm just wondering, as a consumer, what would I be looking for if I go to these condos and look around the windows?
Well, the first thing you're going to do when you're buying this condominium is you're going to hire a Wisconsin registered home inspector.
Okay.
And I would suggest you go to the ASHI, American Society of Home Inspector website, and you find somebody who's not only registered in Wisconsin, and you can look up online, you can look up Larry Mueller licenses and find out if Larry's a home inspector. He says he isn't. but you can go to ASHI, and that means the person is also a member of a professional organization and has to meet a higher standard than the base standard in Wisconsin. You have mentioned to them that you have some concerns. What they are going to do is they're on the lower floors, they're going to inspect the heads of the windows to see if there's any evidence of staining coming in. You also want to ask whoever is managing the association if they have general problems. We have one condominium after another, and we do a lot of work for condominium associations where the condominiums are leaking badly, especially the things that were constructed 2004 through 2008. So do some research, rely upon your home inspector, but don't sandbag and tell them exactly what you're looking for and that you expect him to take a little extra care, and he's going to work by the hour, so he's going to charge you a little extra. But you should be able to buy something that has been very closely examined. That isn't 100% warranty that you're never going to have a problem. But generally, if there are leaks, we find them. This time of year, thermal imaging is great, because if there are water leaks in the wall, we can usually pick that up with our infrared cameras.
Okay. Like I said, I was curious if there was any real visible signs. I know sometimes I heard you have to roll back the carpets and everything else before you can see that there's been a problem.
Well, you certainly can take a look at the drywall. If these have wood sills versus some sort of plastic sill, you generally will have a stain. When water moves through wall systems, we usually get brown stains. Usually, if something is leaking badly, a knowledgeable home inspector is going to be able to pick that up for you.
Okay. Well, that's all right. All I need to know.
Thanks. All right. Thanks a lot for calling. Keith in Chippewa Falls. Hello. Thanks for calling.
Hey, thanks for letting me talk in. I greatly appreciate your show.
Thank you.
Yes, I want to revisit the storm windows and old windows. I have a three-story Victorian built in 1887. The windows are beautiful on the inside. The exterior has steel-framed storm windows. Is there any advantage of upgrading that storm window as far as energy efficiency?
Nothing where you're going to see a payback in less than several hundred years. No, there really is nothing wrong with good quality aluminum storm windows. And storm windows are just like windows. You get what you pay for. If you buy the cheapest thing on the shelf off the big box, you're buying junk.
Right.
But you can buy good quality storms, that metal storms that will last for an indefinite period of time. I end up using a lot of wooden storms because I do a lot of historic restoration where people need the wooden storms, multiple colors of paint, those sorts of things. But there is more transmission, obviously, through aluminum than there is through wood. But considering that the glass is only R.93, who really cares? So yeah. I would use, unless you need wood because you have a historic house or a color palette that requires it, I see no reason at all not to use a good quality metal storm window.
Okay, if I was to change to wood, and I remember what you saying about old growth pine, is there any guarantee of the quality of the wood frame as far as holding paint and so forth?
No, unless you have them custom made out of old growth wood, which
sure.
You're not going to do because it's too expensive. But as I've said several times on the show, really look at sealing all of that end grain. And you will see where these windows come together, there are all kinds of little gaps and things that you have to worry about. So you really need to use one of these plastic type grain fillers, wood hardeners, and then very
sure.
good quality paint.
One last question. When you talked about the rattle in between the stops of your window on the inside and outside, the movement, what type of sealing would you recommend? Would it be like a bulb seal or just something pressure inside of the window frame?
Well, you're looking at basically putting a weather stripping in between the sash and the side of the jamb in that little area. And again, as I said earlier, I really like the sprung brass type, though
okay.
there are actually 3M makes a vinyl type one. It's supposed to be self-adhering, but boy, it's hard to get things to self-adhere to dusty old windows.
Exactly.
But certainly, if you've got a lot of air movement through there, the sprung brass is a pain to put in because it's little tiny nails, but it's going to be there 100 years from now.
Sure. Sure.
There you go.
And then where the two windows meet, you have that angled bevel.
Yes.
Is there something that goes in there as well?
Yes. Or? If that fits quite loose, there is a little V-channel brass weather stripping that you can purchase to put in there.
Okay.
All right.
Well, thank you very much.
Certainly.
Yeah, thanks
for calling.
And Gene in Appleton, your turn. Hi, Gene.
Hi. Thank you. This man is just takes my breath away. I mean, really. I have two things for you, and I hope they don't zap me off before I get to the second one. When people have older homes, and my parents were 1940, a lot of homes weren't being built, he was able to hire a wonderful, wonderful craftsman. And all the years I was there, which was 70, whether I lived in it or was just home every day, you know how that goes.
Yeah.
Finally, he told me to get up and stand up on the table, actually, and look down on the way these windows fit. And this happened to be a bow window, or not a bow window, but, well, yeah. And it was just fitted so beautifully. It was like a beautiful puzzle. And those windows have been up all these years. Never any leakage, nothing. They are stunning. Now the people who live in it, I think, you know how people are frivolous, and, oh, we want different windows. I'd be standing there waiting for them if I could.
Uh-huh.
And I hope people do understand that just because they're old, get up there and look around and investigate or have somebody worthy come in and check these out. You know, a little bit of style isn't going to stay anyway.
Yeah.
I certainly agree. And we really do want to preserve our old windows. We are actually developing national standards now for windows, believe it or not. And if you do a little bit of a web search, you will actually find some standards for the rehabilitation and maintenance of wood windows. There are people like myself who feel strongly enough that they've actually put together a National Preservation Society.
Absolutely.
All right. Thank you so much.
No, my other question.
Oh, okay.
Don't forget me. I had a fire, and the fire was upstairs on a story and a half. It blew out the two top windows. My question is, what do I replace this glass with? It was the kind where you look out the window and you get your reflection back. I hated those things at night.
Okay, so it had some sort of E coating that was reflective.
Yeah, they were very, very good windows, but they blew out. Now, is that supposed to tell me that there was enough pressure that it may have disturbed the window frames? And I'm looking at replacing glass here.
Yeah. You need to talk to the person who is doing the appraisal for your insurance company and discuss that very thoroughly with them. And they may have some recommendations on contractors in the Appleton area that they've worked with who are good with fires. But ask the question to make sure and then note down the answer, preferably get it in writing or in an email, so that if they just put new glass in these windows and the windows do not function well, you have some sort of recourse.
Yeah.
But most insurance appraisers are very good at this sort of thing. And remember, you have the right to question what the appraiser says. That is your right. You can ask for something different than what they state.
Yeah, there you go. Good luck. Thank you so much for calling. Appreciate it very much, Gene. George called to say we were talking about Heard Windows earlier, and George called to say the new name for Heard Windows is Sierra Pacific.
Oh, thank you, George.
So appreciate that very much. And, you know, I want to go back over. You have these great handouts that we've posted up on our Facebook page at the Larry Mueller Show, and you want to take a minute and just go through what we've got up there?
Certainly. Well, the first, Larry, that we have up is we have a link to the Energy and Environmental Building Association, which has some general information on how to install windows, plus a bunch of other useful information on how to seal things, like how do you seal the brick above your window bay, that sort of thing. These little books are something like $10. People can go online and order the book. They're written by Joel Stillbrick. They are a few years old, but they're still very good. The Old House Authority is up there, and the subtitle is Repair, Don't Replace Old Windows. And the Old House Authority gives you quite a bit of information. I think about 11 pages of information as to how to repair your old windows. There's also the Old House Guy, and the Old House Guy again is pretty similar. We're looking at repairs, but my favorite that we've put up is the one from Historic Scotland, Sash and Case Windows: A Short Guide for Homeowners, because. Larry, this talks about the history of glass. It talks about windows much older than us. It has this really neat pages on repair techniques for old windows. It talks about draft stripping. Some of the language is a little different. Sill is spelled with a C in Scotland. And then, as I mentioned earlier, it has this wonderful annual check sheet where you can go through your window and find the visible and the hidden defects, the other defects, and then it has a guide to the specification of repairs for your windows. So if you're going to hire Mr. Smith, the carpenter, to come in, it actually gives you some specifications. So hopefully we're fulfilling the Wisconsin idea here, and we're getting some really good quality information out to our listeners.
John, it's always a pleasure. And all those are posted up on our Facebook page, The Larry Mueller Show. And, John, it's great. We had a great time today, and you did a wonderful job here. Thank you so much.
Oh, thanks much, Larry, and thanks to our callers.
You're back on April 13th, so we'll do this all over again. John Freiberger of Freiberger Construction Consulting of Fitchburg. He'll be back April 13th, and we'll do this all over again.